We are so glad to have, I'm going to have to speak a little bit loud, but that's okay. It doesn't hurt me. I'm just so glad to have all these dear folks with us today. We really appreciate y'all so much. From the AOI department, from the Alabama County Sheriff's Department, we have more EMS here with the protest too. But well, in a sense, y'all do a lot of kind of work that way too. Anybody from State Patrol here? Okay, I think you're chasing somebody right now. But we appreciate you too. And we just want to thank y'all from the bottom of our hearts. I know I need your support. I know that the time that I would have to wait on y'all there. I know many of our people have needed you before and people like there. So we really, really appreciate y'all. And this is a day to remember 911, but it's also a day to honor you and thank you so much for all that you do for us. And I know it takes a lot of training. I became a firefighter in 1973. Thank you, Daniel. 1973, I became a firefighter while I was in seminary, and they called me and asked me would I like to be one. I said, yeah, I've always wanted to be one. He said, well, you're going to school tomorrow. I said, okay, I'll be glad to. It was on Saturday. The first school I went to was LP Gas School. Now, ain't that a nice, and the first one you went to, and that guy, he brought us up on that thing, and then flames were shooting way up in the air, and he was cussing up storm, and I was praying, oh, dear God, please help. Don't let that fire strike me. It's him that's doing all the cussing, not me, Lord. But that was, I'll never forget that day, and I learned a lot. I learned, don't fool around with LP gas. But then after about 2 years, we formed a rescue squad, had the first EMT class in North Carolina. I was a part of that. I'm not saying that proudly. I'm saying that to let you know how old I am. And Jim Holzhauser gave us our EMT certificates. Now, we're going back a long time, I tell you. Y'all are probably wondering where my cane is. It's right up there. But anyway, I'll never forget they divided us up into captains, and after they did that, I was captain of the third week of each month. And I had a rookie one day. He was not through with his EMT class. He was taken. So we had a lady that was going to have a baby. And that's always real exciting, you know. So I said, you drive, and I'll sit in the back. I'll take care of everything back there, and you drive. So we had to drive 26 miles to Wake Medical Center from Youngsville. And we were on the way, and, you know, things were getting a little bit, kind of going pretty fast in the back. And he asked me, he said, how's things going? I said, you need to radio them and tell them that her pains are 3 minutes apart. And I said, be sure to tell them that. So he got on the radio, and he said, this is Youngsville 301 to Wake Medical Center. We want to tell you that her minutes are 3 pains apart. We got out of Wake Medical Center the quickest you could get out of it, I'll tell you that. But I thanks to you so much, and I want to come around here to thank the Alamance County Sheriff's Department. These fellas have been so good to Bethlehem Church. We see them. Their presence is in our community. And by gracious, I really appreciate that because, you know, they're doing a great job. So to all these people, I think we all owe another big thank you, okay? Oh one. I was at, you people will guess this already, Chick-fil-A. And I was eating a chicken biscuit, and Willie Woods, who is one of my dear friends on earth, maybe one of my top 10 friends that works there, Willie came up to me and said, you know, a plane hit that tall building in New York. And I said, well, I sure hope it was a small one. He says, well, I think it was. I said, well, if it's a small one, even though that's a tragedy, it probably bounced off and still probably caused a lot of damage. Well, it wasn't but a few minutes later, Willie came back to me and said, another plane's crashed into that second tower. I said, Willie, I said, there's something going on. I said, this is no accident. Something's going on. So I went out to the car and went to the hospital. I had a hospital visit to make. And when I went in and saw the two towers, that was tough because I knew America had been attacked. And I knew there was going to be a lot of people killed that day. You just don't strike towers that big with that big of those bigger jets and people aren't killed. And when they collapsed, you know, I never thought that would happen. And I saw pictures of those firemen and policemen and law enforcement as we were told they were running into the building while others were running out. And some of them had 120 pounds of equipment they were carrying up those steps when that building collapsed on them. And I know what a sad day that was for me, not only because of all the civilians that were killed, but especially for all the law enforcement, the firemen, the EMS, the paramedics. I don't think we'll ever forget it. That day, there was 2,606 people killed in the World Trade Center. 200 of them fell or jumped to their death. Can you imagine making a decision, either I burn to death or I jump out the window? What an awful decision to have to make. 341 firemen died. Two paramedics died. 23 New York Police Department officers died. 8 EMTs died. And 23 police officers from Port Authority died, a total of 60. The American Airlines Flight 11 that crashed into the building, 87 people. Flight 77 in the Pentagon, that was 59 people. United Airlines Flight 175, 60 people. Flight 93, 40 people. 125 people at the Pentagon and 19 hijackers. A total that day of 2,996 people died that day. Do you remember what you were doing that day? How many of you can raise your hand and remember what you were doing that day? That's a day you'll never forget. And you know, the sky was so blue. Do you remember how blue the sky was that day? That was the prettiest day for such an awful tragedy. And our hearts still break today as we think how America was invaded and what happened to all those precious people and their family. I understand there's, if I'm not mistaken, there are 70 countries represented who lost people that day, 70 countries. 3,000 children lost their parents that day, 3,000 children. That's a lot. So it's a terrible day, and I don't think we will ever forget it. And we're here not only to honor our emergency personnel, but to remember those who died that day. Second question I'd like to ask, where was God that day?
Say you'll never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11th, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, "Honey, I'm not going to make it. It's okay. I'm ready to go." I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to their children. I held her up as she tried to understand his words. And as she realized he wasn't coming home that night. I was in the stairwell of the 23rd floor when a woman cried out to me for help. I have been knocking on the door of your heart for 50 years, I said. Of course I will show you the way home. Only believe in me now. I was at the base of the building when the priest ministered to the injured and devastated souls. I took him home to tend his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all four of those planes, in every seat, with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith has saved them. I was in Texas, Kansas, London. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name, though they did not all know me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me with their last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling to them through the smoke and flames. Come to me, this way. Take my hand. Some chose, for the final time, to ignore me. But I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why, but I do. However, if you were there in that explosive moment in time, would you have reached for me? September 11th, 2001 was not the end of the journey for you. But someday your journey will end, and I'll be there for you as well. Seek me now while I may be found. Then, at any moment, you know you're ready to go. I will be in the stairwell of your final moments. Remember, I love you.
She stood at the window like she had for all those years, and held the curtain back with her fragile hand. As 6 p.m. came around, it seemed that she could hear the sound of his footsteps coming through the door again. She reached in the closet for her box of memories. There's a part of her that will never let him go. Now his words are all that she has left, but hope remains in spite of death. How she treasures that last letter that he wrote. I'll see you soon. This promise, I'll see you soon, and I'm waiting for the day. There's no need for you to cry. My love is written in the sky. Nothing in the world can keep me from you. Just hold on. I'll see you soon. of the moment when they'll meet again one day, and her longing heart will finally be at home. She picks up his Bible by their bed and reads those precious words in red, the letter Jesus left so long ago. When he said, I'll see you soon, I leave you with this promise, I'll see you soon, and I'm waiting for the day. There's no need for you to cry, my love is written in the sky, nothing in the world can keep me from. She looks out at the horizon and imagines herself lying. It won't be long until it all comes true. I'll see you soon. I leave you with this promise. I'll see you soon.
God was not surprised by 911. I'm sure he was saddened by it. God did not cause 911, but he does comfort those affected by it. God does not choose or may not choose to prevent future acts of evil. But I can promise you that he loves you and cares for you. And so I urge you today, my friends, when trouble comes your way, whether it's running into a burning building or coming up to a car accident or coming into a situation where there's been domestic violence or there's someone there robbing a store or whatever, to dial 911. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Or continue to dial 911, 2 Corinthians, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Or Proverbs 9:1, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Or Psalm 9:1, sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion, declare among the people his doings. Or Luke 9:1, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that they had need of healing. Where was God on 9:1? That's certainly a good question. I think the choir addressed this earlier. But I can tell you where he was. He was at the same place that he was when Jesus hung on the cross, enduring the pain for the benefit of others. It was horror and agony and anguish for him. Seeing his son with thorns on his brow, lashes on his back, bruises from the reeds and fists that hit him, the plucking of the beard from his face, spit being hurt upon him, Of course, not only that, but nails in his hands and feet, a spear piercing his side. All this, yes, and we haven't included the sins of the world were on his shoulder. Where was God when his one and only son hung dying on the cross? Don't you know? Couldn't he have prevented it? Couldn't he have stopped it? Was God actually helpless? Was he not aware? Did he not care? Of course he knew about it. Of course he could have prevented it. And of course he could have stopped it. He wasn't helpless. He was aware and he cared. God knew it was happening and he could have stopped it, but he didn't, because he had the larger picture in view. There was a greater good to be accomplished by the suffering and death of Jesus. Through the suffering of one, many would be made whole. Through the sacrifice of one, many would have their sins forgiven. Through the death of one, many would be made alive. So he wasn't just sitting idly by or helpless when his son suffered. He was using the schemes of wicked hearts to bring about the redemption of mankind, all of us. And he reminds us that my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are as high upon the earth, so my ways are higher than you, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's where God was. And today he still waits to come by your side and be with you in your times of danger, in your times of trouble, in your times of distress, simply because he loves you with an unconditional love and he cares about you so much. God will be there for you. The lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, cross the plains of Texas from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget ones who died and gave their life for me. So I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Now there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. You know, if I had to start all over again with just my children and my wife, I'd be so grateful to start here in this land where we still have freedom and life. I'm glad to live in this country, even with all its ills and all its problems, because God still loves us, and he still has his hands on America, and he still blesses us. Let's stand up and sing this song together. For I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that life to me. So let me stand up next to you and defend her still today.